If you were to have peered through my dining room window yesterday afternoon, you would have found me and a couple of my children carving out pumpkins and also a turnip. And we were digging out all the flesh, which is not so easy when it comes to doing it with a turnip, I have to say. And we gave them each a face and we stuck a candle inside them. These were duly placed on our doorstep. The candles were lit. And these were to welcome any geysers who came to our door yesterday evening. For it was, as you know, and we've already told the children, it was Halloween. And children did call. We had children dressed as cats, princesses, witches, zombies. We had a minion. And we had a butcher. I've never had a butcher before. They told their jokes, terrible, terrible jokes, which I'm not going to repeat. And they left with a handful of sweets and lollies and the obligatory tangerine. Well, what a strange practice Halloween is. We light up pumpkins and children dress as dead or scary beings. Well, today we live in a world in which death is sanitised. It's something which is dealt with by others so that we don't have to. But on this night of Halloween, for one day only in the year, death is highlighted. All that scares us is brought out into the open and challenged, laughed at, in fact. And it's all accompanied by an abundance of sugar. But what the world fails to remember is that Halloween, as we've already said, is the evening of another day. It is the evening of All Saints' Day in which we celebrate life. And we give thanks for those people who have loved and lived in faithful service to God. Our readings this morning speak of death and of life. Of Lazarus, who is dead, being raised to life by Jesus in John's Gospel. Of a time when there will be no more death in the book of Revelation. As we celebrate All Saints today, we come to proclaim that death does not have the last word. Those who have died are not forgotten, for their lives continue on in God. That is not to gloss over the reality of death. First of all, I want to look at our gospel reading, which tells us about sorrow and grief, and at the same time to hold on to the message of Halloween followed by All Saints' Day, in which death gives way to life. There is renewal. There is hope. We find sorrow over the death of a loved one, described in our gospel text this morning, for Jesus' friend Lazarus has died. This is the Lazarus who was the brother of Mary and Martha, the ones whose house Jesus would visit when he was passing by. Martha would cook for him and Mary would sit at his feet and listen to him. Jesus could relax to some extent in their house and in their company, it seems. But this was all to change, for in the Gospel of John chapter 11, Lazarus has died. A young man who had taken seriously ill, who was dead within days. Jesus goes to his friends, Mary and Martha, although he doesn't go immediately. And in the text that we read this morning, we've already skipped over the beginning of that story. We've missed the encounter Jesus has with Martha, and in which they have a deeply theological discussion, and Jesus says the words, "I am the resurrection and the life," these words which we hear at funerals and which give us comfort. But today we're looking at the story of Mary, for today it is about sorrow at the death of a loved one. Mary begins when she sees Jesus by challenging him. She says, "If you had been here, he would not have died." Jesus had the power to heal, but what use was that to her now? Lazarus was dead, Jesus was too late. How tragic these words are. How much they sound like our own complaints against God. Why did God allow this? Why did God not heal my loved one? Did God hear our prayers at all? So many broken-hearted questions. We believe that God can heal, but often it seems God does not. Why is that? We also hear in the text of a crowd of Jews who have gathered to mourn Lazarus' death. They too are weeping. And they question further. If Jesus could give sight to the blind man, surely he could have healed his friend. They wonder if Jesus had loved Lazarus after all. In the face of tragedy, we can also doubt God's love for us and for our loved ones who have died. Mary is weeping, the crowd weeps, and Jesus is heartbroken. His spirit is deeply troubled, we are told. He is agitated physically in himself. He groans in his spirit. He is deeply upset. The scholars tell us that the verb which is used is linked to anger. I imagine a loud, anguished noise coming up from Jesus, rising up as if from his stomach. He feels the injustice of his friend's death. Taken too soon, robbed of life and leaving his sisters bereft. Jesus is angry at death. These feelings of loss, of immense sadness, of anger, these are all displayed by the incarnate God. Psalm 116 tells us that God cares deeply when his loved ones die. It says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones." I have found great comfort in these words, in the face of the questions which I have about grief and suffering and death. If I feel this way, then God feels it too. God grieves. God sees your grief, feels your pain, grieves with you. God sees the grief of the relatives of the young man who was killed in the school in Aberdeen last week. God feels the pain of the families of those killed in the plane crash in Egypt. God grieves for the woman found dead in her home in West Lothian on Wednesday. And for all the tragic losses which have affected our own community and our own church in Dunfermline in recent months, God grieves. We read that Jesus cries tears of sorrow for his friend. And in our reading from Revelation this morning, we hear of a God who will wipe every tear from our eyes. And furthermore, the writer envisions a time when there will be no more crying, when there will be no more pain suffered by ourselves or by our loved ones, when there will be no more death. And the passage speaks of a caring, compassionate God who will be with us, living amongst us. Surely we have God's Spirit with us now. And we are assured that in death God will still be with us, caring for us then as now. So death is real. The reading from the Gospel tells us that Jesus goes to the tomb where Lazarus is laid, that there will be a stench because his body will be decaying. But in this story, for Lazarus, there is a miracle. For him, death is defeated this time. He comes out of the tomb when Jesus calls him, still wrapped in his bandages, a bit like the mummies in Halloween. But unlike these mummies, he is fully alive. However, he will die again. And pity him who has to go through death twice. Jesus has brought him back to life. He has resuscitated him. This is Jesus' greatest miracle. But we find this hard to understand, don't we? Because in our experience, people die and they stay dead. The raising of Lazarus points us most of all to Jesus. And it points to him being Lord of all. Not even death is beyond his healing powers. And the story also prepares the reader for the death and resurrection of Jesus himself. All Saints' Day is sometimes known as the Little Easter. It happens in the middle of autumn, with leaves falling from the trees, and we remember again the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus, too, will die. He will be buried in a tomb not unlike that of Lazarus, with a stone placed over its opening. But the grave will not contain him. He will rise from the dead in resurrection power. And this time, there will be no bandages. These will be wrapped up, placed in the tomb. There will be no second death. Jesus is raised in his resurrection body, never to die again. He conquers death once and for all. Raised from death to life, he is the everlasting one. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. It is him who holds all life in his hands. Christ is the resurrection and the life. We can trust our loved ones to God. We can trust God with our lives and with our futures, whatever they may hold. We can live our lives fully today because of this assurance. And we can live our lives fully every day until he comes again. Amen.